The following shiur has been presented by Rav Yosef Jacobowitz, Mechaber Sefer Gvul Rishonim on Erevin, and has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center.
Nazir Daf Lamed Aleph. The Mishnah, the beginning of our parak, fifth parak of Nazir, starts off with the Machlokes of Shammai Beis Hillel, which from the simple reading of the Mishnah is the Machlokes of Hekdesh Tzayis is Hekdesh or not. The Shammai holds is Hekdesh, and Beis Hillel holds is not Hekdesh. In the Gemara, there's a long shak of a tire, a long discussion trying to figure out what exactly the Shamashit is, what the Machlokes is. Along the way, the Mishnah discusses the case that somebody said that Shar Shachar Sheitzim and Beis Rishon, the first black Shar that comes out of my house, how are you Hekdesh? And then a white one comes out. The Shammai holds is Hekdesh, Beis Hillel holds is not. Dinner Zov Shial of Yodi Rishon, the first gold dinner coin that comes out of my hands, how are you Hekdesh? With all of the Shokasim. And the silver coin came up in his hands. The Shammai says it's Hekdesh, Beis Hillel says it's not. A barrel of wine that comes up first, Hariyo Hekdesh, but also Hashemin, and the oil came, oil, as opposed to wine. Hashemin says Hekdesh, but still says it's not Hekdesh. In the Gemara of the Aleph and the Beis, the last Gemara before the Mishnah, the Gemara is trying to explain the place of Hashem and Beis Hillel, and the Gemara is saying that according to Hashem, the thing which actually did come up by mistake, that is the thing that's Hekdesh, and Beis Hillel holds that's not, since it's not what he originally intended and wanted to come up. And the Gemara is trying to work it out that in all these cases, the thing that came up to be less valuable than the thing he originally intended to make Hekdesh, just like by the case of Zav and Kesef, where there it's clear that Kesef is worth less than Zav, and he originally intended to be Makdish dinner of Zav, with the end of King Kesef. Bishami holds the Kesef, which is worth less, is Hekdesh, and Basil says no, nothing is Hekdesh altogether in such a case. So the Gemara wants all the cases should be like that. So the Shar Shachar, the black Shar, and the white Shar, the Gemara has a discussion which is better, black or white, depending for which purpose, and if you want it for its meat, if you want it to work. Then the Gemara also discusses Yain and Shemin. And the Gemara seems to be bothered that Shemin, it seems to understand the Gemara was that Shemin, oil in those days, is more valuable than Yain, more than wine. It's more of a rare commodity, maybe, and therefore it was worth more. So how does that shtim, how does that work out with the previous case of Zav and Kesef? And the Gemara says, no, Halakasha, that's not Shreya, that's not a problem. The Galil Shan, we're talking about the Galil, in that part of Eretz Yisrael, Eretz Yisrael is divided up into Yehuda, Galil, and the Eriyadin, talking about in the Galil, the Chamra of the Fimashcha. Their wine was more expensive than oil. Since wine was more expensive than oil, the oil is worth less, and therefore it's similar to the case of Zov and Kesef, just like the case of that he intended to have Zov, and then Kesef came up, and he had Mahalik Basham, and he's still whether it's Hekdesh or not. It's the case of the Chavash of Yain, that he intended to make Hekdesh, and then he got oil, and then Shemin came up, Basham says Hekdesh, but still says it's not. And similar to the case of Zov and Kesef, that what he ended up with was something that's worth less than what he originally intended to make Hekdesh, because Shemin is worth less than Yain, since they had so much Shemin in Galil. Now this, that they have so much Shemin in Galil, have kind of many different halachas and kaminas. Over here it has enough kamina according to the Shita of Beis Shammai. Obviously the Shammai Beis Hillel is generally possible like Beis Hillel, so they also would not have enough kamina in halacha, but in principle and concept it could have enough kamina. We find other places where it would make enough kamina. Rashi already mentions in short the Gemara of Basra, Tzadi the Aleph and the Aleph. The Gemara says, if you go through the Gemara on the top of the Tzadi Aleph and the Aleph of Basra, Tanya Rabbonim, the Rabbonim went to Nebraisa. Aim is stock in Eretz Yisrael. You can't make a business in Eretz Yisrael. The Dvarim Sheyes M'chayi Nefesh, with items that people depend on for their lives, still need in order to live. Gonyeyeh Shmonim Mitzvosis, such as wine, oil, and flour. Rashi explains over there that a person cannot make a business of buying wine, oil, and flour from the person who makes them, from the Baal Bayis, from the one who has the field, who has the wine press, and he has the olive press, or he has the mill, and he makes the flour, in order to sell them privately. You can't be like a go-between in order to sell them in between and raise the prices and hike up the prices. Rather, anybody who needs to buy the chitim should go straight to anybody who needs the flour should go straight to the person who had the chitim who made them into flour and buy straight from him. Anybody who needs oil or wine should go straight from the person who produces the wine and the oil and buy straight from him. And this is what they'll get for a cheaper price. If you buy it and then you sell it like a wholesaler, retailer, at different steps and different levels of sales, so then by the time it gets to the regular person, the price will have gone up, the price can end up going up several times. It'll be more expensive. This person, you know, people are dependent on having wine, oil, and flour for the basic food that they used to use to make, and the Chazal wanted the price should not go up on these items, and therefore they said that you cannot be a go-between, and rather anybody who needs these items should go buy from the one that produces the wine or the oil. Then it says, they said about Rav Mazari that he made a business of Yain and Shemin. They bought wine and oil, he bought the Yain and Shemin from the one who produced the wine and the shemen, the wine and the oil, and he sold it for a higher price. The Gemara asked, how is he allowed to do it? So when it comes to shemen, when it comes to oil, the Gemara says, "Va'asev los nazayim, the land of los nazayim, shkiach mishkal." There's a lot of oil available. There's a lot of oil around. It's very common to get your hands on oil on shemen. Therefore, I wasn't such a concern that people would not be able to afford the oil and be missing something which they're dependent on for all their food. The oil problem, the olive oil, not the types, not all the different types of oil that we have available nowadays, was a basic staple. It's very important for them, but it was available. Shkiach mishkal, it was very common. So it would come out that the Chayr in Galil would be the same halacha. I don't know where exactly it was in the Diary of Eretz Yisrael, so I check that out historically, but at least we could say in Galil, which is a place where they had a lot of oil, oil is very common, you would not have this issur of doing business with oil. You could be able to buy oil from someone who has an olive press and then sell it for a higher price. People would benefit from the fact that they could buy it from you. You'd be in a store, a storefront, or on the street in a more accessible place. People would not have to go to the olive press to buy it. And although they would have to pay more, this would be fair. I would not be concerned that people would no longer be able to afford the oil, because in Galil so much oil was available. So this is one practical nafkamina that we could have from the fact that oil is so easily available in Galil. Another nafkamina is mentioned in the Gemara Shabbos Daf Mem Zayin Amud Aleph. So we tell you this, learns the Gemara over there. The Gemara is discussing what we know as halacha of basas adavra asa, that if you have one flea that's holding in it two different items, a davra asa and a davra mutter. So if the davra asa, there's someone on Shabbos over here, the davra asa, the muksa item is worth more, so then the flea that's holding it becomes muksa as well. Even if you, for some reason, it was pulled out, the davra asa, the muksa item was pulled out or got shaken out, since the beginning of Shabbos, bein hashmoshes, this flea was holding the muksa item, migus kasal bein hashmoshes, since this flea, this holder was muksa bein hashmoshes, it's muksa, therefore, it was through Shabbat for the whole Shabbos. If it's holding a muksa item and a mutzig item, a non-muksa item in the same flea, so what's the halacha then? So then it depends which one's worth more. If the muksa item is worth more, so then the flea is a basa zavra asa, you cannot move the flea which is holding the zavra asa and the zavra mutter. Even if the zavra asa gets removed or falls out, let's say the zavra mutter is worth more than the zavra asa, so then this flea, the basa, the flea on the bottom, does not become muksa by the mere fact it's holding the muksa item, because it's holding a muksa item and a non-muksa item, and a non-muksa item is worth more. So we say that it's principally a holder, it's mainly a holder for the mutzig items, and a non-muksa item. So now, if you want to carry this flea around, it's okay. If it's possible to shake out the muksa item without it getting ruined, without causing any damage, it's better, it's preferable to do that. It would be expected to first shake out the muksa item, and then you'd be allowed to carry the flea with the non-muksa item inside of it. If it's not possible to shake it out, and it causes a hazard, something to get ruined, but the muksa item or something else will get ruined by doing that, then if your main purpose is for the muksa item, you could carry the flea, the bosses, with the muksa item inside of it, even though the muksa item is inside as well, or carried along with it. Now, what's the case that's discussed over here? Discussed in there, like a candle holder, that, or in the old days, it was using the oil, that they had inside of it the muksa item and also the item. It had inside of it the different case that the Gemara was referring to over here. We discussed over here the case in the Braisa that it had a shivered psilo. It had broken pieces of psilo of wood, and it says in the Braisa that there's broken pieces of wood in the Nair, also to carry it. There's also mutadik items inside, because since the shivered psilo has broken pieces of psilo inside, so now the whole cleave on there is a basis. We're talking about the fire is extinguished, there's no fire over here, but it's a basis of Dabra also because it has a shivered psilo inside. And the Gemara says, Amar Abaya the Galil Shanu, that this rice was talking about in the Galil. Because the Ramaram before seemed to say that a Nair does not have an active fire that you could carry it, it's not a problem, even though there's also the guidance and what's the guidance inside. This rice says that because of the Shiv Sila, the broken pieces of wick, so now the whole Nair, the whole candle holder, the whole life becomes Muksa, because of the fact that it's only the Shiv Sila. And the Gemara says, it depends if you're in Galil or if you're in other places. So Rashi has a different shot. Rashi says that the shivik sila, which is the muksadik item, the asadik item, was very valuable in Galil. They didn't have so much tishla, they didn't have so much linen over there to make clothing out of. The shivik sila would be needed to make clothing out of after Shabbos. And since on Shabbos it's muksa, so therefore the whole Nair becomes muksa for that, even though it has muksadik items inside. But it says to argue to Rashi, it says that right, like more than the Bavakama, and Galil, they actually had a lot of linen, they had a lot of tishla, there was no shortage of tishla. So Taisus has a different shot. Taisus says that if you look at what's the asadik item, what's the mutzig item? Let's figure out the value. The authentic item is the shivik tula. That place learns that the fish on the linen, the flax that was made out of the wick, that was pretty common in Galil. But what's the mutter of the guy? The mutter of the guy is the oil. The leftover oil that was in the mirror didn't burn out when the fire was there. The leftover oil, how much is that worth? The Tosafot says, based on our Gemara, Bangalil, our Gemara Nazir, Bangalil, they had a lot of oil. Since they had a lot of oil, the oil was not worth too much. It was pretty cheap. Like we said, that would be to make a business out of oil. It wouldn't be a problem of hiking up the prices, of jacking up the prices, because they had a lot of oil available. Since they had a lot of oil available, it was less than the wine. The oil was not so valuable since there was so much of it. So therefore, if you have a nair that's holding it up with oil and shivered stila and broken up wicks, if even the broken up wicks were not so valuable, but the oil is even cheaper. Oil came very cheap. So now the nair is a holder principally for the davra muksa, for the davra asa, because the davra asa, the shivered stila, the broken up wick, is worth more than the oil. Oil was so cheap in Galil. And therefore, the whole nair, the muksa, as opposed to a different place where oil was harder to come by and was more valuable, more expensive, and since the oil was a mutzah item, it's mutzah to use on Shabbos, not muksa, therefore we say the nair is not a bus to davar asr. Rather, it's bus to davar asr with davar mutzah, with davar mutzah, the oil being worth more, and then the whole nair would not be muksa. If one would want to know where this halacha of a bus is found in Shulchan Aruch, to look in the Shabbos of Siman Shin Yud in Sifchet, or Arachaim Siman Shin Yud Sifchet, and there this halacha of buses by, specifically even by nair, is discussed over there. So we're coming out that based on the value of the oil, it will be determined whether the holder, the nair, is going to be muksa on Shabbos or not. And Galil, where the oil is worth very little, so then it will be a bus to Zavra Asa, and the whole nair will be muksa, as opposed to the other place where the oil is worth more, there will be a bus to Zavra Asa, Zavra Mutter, the main item is the mutter, the non-muksa item, and it will not be muksa. And Galil, it will be muksa, and other place it will not be muksa. One more place where we find that makes a difference how much oil there was, although it's not so much because of its value, the way Tais explains over there, and more because of the amount of time it took to produce it, because there was so much of it. There's a Mishnah, Chagiga Dav Chav Tal, on the base, that says, Chaymer b'Truma. Truma is more Chomer in a certain respect than Kachim, although usually Kachim, or Kodesh, is more Chomer, has more strict than Allah, has more stringent Allah than Truma. There's one place that Truma has more stringent Allah than Kachim, that in Yehuda, in the part of the Yisrael of Yehuda, the Manam of Paris, Yayim, Hashem, and Koyim, Mitzvah. You could trust the Amoratim that their wine and oil is tar the whole year round, because, and some by regard to the Kachim, because they knew that the wine and the oil was very often used from the Sochim and Menachas on the Mizbeah, and therefore they were careful to keep it tar. So even the Amoratim can be trusted that their Yayim, Hashem, and was clean, it was tar, did not become Tameh. Even Amoratim were usually not careful to Matairo. But Shasta Kitis Abadim, at the time of the wine press and the olive press, Truma, you even trust them about the Truma, only that time of year, because then they're extra careful to make sure that they kept all their, and they kept everything tar, all the wine, the oil tar, so even in regards to the Truma, where it's not going to be used on this bath, still you can trust them that the Yain and the Shemen was tar. And at times of the Gittis about only that season, that time of year, of the wine press and the olive press, and they press the grapes and they press the olives. On the Gemara, in the Gemara it says, on the Chafayim and olives, that is a chilul between Galil and other parts of Eretz Yisrael. That's the Vayishim wanted to say. The difference between Galil and other parts of Eretz Yisrael. Other parts of Eretz Yisrael, meaning Yehuda, that's where this halacha applied. And not only the Nemun, the Gabi Kachim, all year round, of the Tyra of Yain and the Shemin, but in regards to Truma, the trusted on the Yain and the Shemin also, at least the times of the Gittas and the bottom, the times of the wine press and the olive press. However, in Galil, Rav Yosef wanted to say, coming to answer, Kashif here from Rav Yosef, Rav Yosef wanted to say, in Galil, they're not Nemun. The Gabi Truma, at least on the Shemin. It's not clear about Yain, but it was clear over there from the Brides, at least the Gabi Shemin. Tais explains the reason was because Galil, they had so much Shemin that it took a very long time to press all the olives. By the time they finished pressing it, the main season was over. Since the main season was over, they weren't careful anymore to make sure that everything would stay tar. Things already started becoming tummy. And now you were buying oil from Amaharis, oil of Truma, which is not allowed to become tummy, or if you wouldn't be able to use it for food, if it became tummy, here it comes. And he had a problem that you couldn't know exactly when it was produced. And therefore, you have to be afraid it will become tummy. That became tummy. Therefore, in Galil, there was a chumrah that you cannot trust Amaharis that oil was tar in regards to Truma, because you have to be afraid that maybe it's from the overproduction that went over time past the season of the regular season of pressing the olives, because they had so much oil over there. The Ma'aseh of Gemara shows up the study of Rav Yosef and Marcus Abraisa that in Yarden and Galil they had the same halacha as Yehuda, the Gabi Truma. They could trust them on the Yain, could trust them on the Shemen around the season of pressing the grapes and the olives. So the halacha is not true. The theory of the Gemara has in the Abraisa, the Mishnah of the Gemara has a different tariff over there. Matthew says a tariff that's not important for us right now. Rav Yosef wants to suggest that in a place where they produce so much oil and it's such a long season of pressing the olives, at the end of the season you cannot trust anymore, since it's already overtime, you cannot trust them if they're careful until the Tyra, and therefore you not be able to buy oil from the Ma'aret in such a place. Now, halacha doesn't make a difference, because in Galil, even when they had so much oil, it's still clear in the Brisa that they were trusted at that time of that season, that time of year, that the oil was tar.
We do have a lot of nafkaminas from the fact that in Galil there was so much oil. We have a gabbai d'alacha of Abasra. He'd be allowed to go into the oil business and be a go-between for selling oil, like it was Mazaya did. We have regards to muksa. We got a busted up, also the muksa. The oil is not considered, shemel is not considered such a worthwhile, such a valuable item. And according to Mishana, you will have a nafkamina. There will be a difference also in regards to the rules of Hekesh.
The Daf Yomi Halacha series has been brought to you by the Beis Havad Halacha Center. To sign up for the Halacha Center's weekly interactive e-journal, please email subscribe to info@thehalachacenter.org.